Let's pray. There's a few things that we should pray about. Well, let's just pray. Our Father and our God, we thank and praise you for this opportunity to be together, to look into your word, and we pray that you bless accordingly. And Lord, for the ones who are here visiting, perhaps on vacation, it's a laudable thing. I pray you'd speak to their heart and bless them for being here with us this morning. Let everyone feel welcome, Lord. We appreciate each and every one. Lord, for Pastor Saeed, still languishing in jail there in Iran, I pray, Lord, his speedy release. And I pray, Lord, that the United States won't go into this nuclear deal. I understand that you've said that you'll bless those who bless Israel and you'll curse those who curse Israel. And God help us, Lord, but we don't want to be a curse. And I pray you'll do a miraculous and a mighty thing. And in the whole doing thereof, Lord, you'll release our brother from jail. Lord, we have a friend in Kentucky languishing in jail because she wouldn't give a gay couple same-sex marriage license. She thought that obeying you was more important, and now she's paying the price. Father, I pray her imminent release, even today, that, Lord, you would set her free, and you would bless all those who take a stand to worship you, to obey you, rather than to obey the dictates of man. And Father, for those among your people here who are hurting, who are enduring one trial or affliction, who are out of work, who need a financial a blessing, who need a healing, who need you to show up and heal their physical frame, Lord, we pray that you just move among us, that your spirit would be mighty to deal with what is ailing us, Lord, to make good things, to make bad things turn good, to glorify yourself, Lord, and just let us know that you're working among us all the time. Now bless this time in your word, we ask it in Jesus' name, amen. And certainly God would bless the banquet. He always has in the past, and good time is had by all. We'll probably be there about 95% certain, and there's a schedule thing that I like to clear up, but we be there. We always like to be there. A good time is had by all, and even if we couldn't make it, our check would still make it. We just so much believe in life and believe what God's doing in this ministry. We praise him for it. Galatians chapter 1, verse 11. I'm going to read we went to verse 10 last week. I'm going to read it right through to the end, okay? But I certify you, brethren, the gospel which was preached to me is not after man, for I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. For you have heard of my conversation, my manner of life, in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it. And I profited in the Jews' religion above many my equals in my own nation, being much more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace, to reveal his Son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. Neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which are apostles before me, but I went into Arabia and returned again unto Damascus. Then after 3 years I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter, and I abode with him 15 days. But other of the apostles saw I none, save James the Lord's brother. Now the things which I read unto you, behold, which before God I lie not. Afterwards I came into the regions of Syria and Cilicia, and was unknown by face unto the churches of Judea which were in Christ. And they that heard only that he which persecuted us in times past now preaches the faith, faith which once he destroyed, and they glorified God in me. Now you're saying to yourself, okay, went to Syria, went to Damascus, stayed with Peter 15 days, went up to Jerusalem after there. What does that got to do with anything whatsoever? How many know already? It's the word of God, right? It's got to be important, right? Now, but how many know why those details are here? And you're hoping I do. And you're hoping I'll explain it to you. And I will take my best, most educated guess. And I think I have got something to say. But now before we jump right in, last week, Suze wasn't here because she was over in Nursey. So she heard the CD, the DVD, the MP3, I mean. She heard the recording of it. And she said, you sounded very angry. gee, I hope I don't come across that way, but I will be intense. Listen, y'all, this is the gospel. This is what saves us. We ain't playing any games here. This is really, really important stuff. I'll try to tone it down so no one feels like, ah, you know, I'm inviting my friends, but, you know, he's going to scare them off. It's intense, but I don't want you to feel like threatened or something, because I don't want to be the beat you up pastor. I want to be the grace guy. But this is it. This is the nub of it, the crux of it, if you will. This is the gospel of grace. And any other gospel, well, this is America. You can believe anything you want. But the only problem is only one gospel saves. You say, that is absolute. Who do you think you are to say that? I think I'm right with Scripture. I'm lined up by Scripture. I don't think much of me. I think much of our glorious Savior. And there's only one way that our glorious Savior saves. And I want to share that with you so you're not under some religious conviction like I was. And if I have time, I'll share. I'll tell you about my religious experience and what I came out of and how I got saved. But I better get going. Listen, I'm certainly telling you this. I am telling you this. I'm not lying, he says later on. The gospel which was preached unto me is not after man. You know that to be sure. Man didn't invent this. I know Dan Brown, his book, The Da Vinci Code, a bunch of, patriarchal types, got together, they killed the feminine divine and all the things that Scripture really has to say, and they decided which books, and even them they doctored. Piffle. Dan Brown should do his homework. That is ridiculous. The gospel wasn't invented by men. How do you know that? Who would invent this gospel? The gospel that men make in the end of the gospel, in the end of their methodology, in the end of their religion, they're the heroes. Look, this is the gospel of Jesus Christ. There's two teams, sinners and Jesus. Guess which team you're on? Who invents that? Where only Jesus is the hero, and there's nothing that I can possibly do to secure my eternity with him. There's no amount of works. There's no circumcision. There's no baptism. I can't write out checks. I can't give money. I can't pray. I can't be all holy. I can't witness to people. I can't read my Bible. I can't work my way into heaven, into God's good graces. Who invents that gospel? All the man-made ones is you get a little checklist. I prayed today, I read my Bible today. Oh, circumcised, absolutely. Baptized, most certainly. And we look and we check our checks. We pat ourselves in the back. What a good boy am I. And then when we're done, when we stand before God, God says, oh, you are awesome. Come on right in. Those are the man-made religions. And there's different methodology to what advances your cause, what makes you right with God, but in the end of the day, it's always something that you've done. Now, the gospel that we share, listen, men didn't make this up. I didn't receive it from a man. Well, how did you get it then, Paul? Oh, I was riding to Damascus. I was trying to kill the church and put them all in jail and stone them and, just one thing after another. I got people to denounce Christ at the point of a sword, and then Jesus showed up. I found out he was really nice. He saved me, and here I am. I'm on his team now. Oh, he told me the gospel. He exactly shared it to me, exactly what I should say, word for word. Really? It's quite different. Yeah, it is. That's how Paul got the gospel. And he tells us all these things. I didn't receive it from man. It's not after man. I didn't receive man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Listen, y'all, Jesus shared this gospel with me. That's how I know the gospel. You've heard, and he's going back to this is kind of his testimony. You've heard of my, in Conversations Week there, Manner of Life. It wasn't a discussion he had with somebody. It was the way I used to be, he's saying. You heard about how I used to be in time past in the Jews' religion. Okay, he's saying I was religious. Is religion good? No. No, it's fig leaves. We talked about it last week, right? In the garden, man fell, ate of the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil. And then what happened? He hid from God because he was naked. And he sewed fig leaves together to try to make himself presentable to God. That's religion, in my use of the word. I know some people come up and you say, oh, you're real religious, and they mean you believe in God, right? Well, the devil's a religious, and that, if you're using that way of, you know what I mean? I always think, you know, religion's bad. Religious people are the ones who killed Jesus, you know? Paul's talking about the time he was religious. He's not bragging here. He said, when I used to be religious, you know what I was? It was like this. You've heard how it used to be. I was in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it. Religious people always persecute the truth. Always, invariably, inevitably, only in every case. Always. And Jesus said it would be so. We have, it looks like Christian churches persecuting other Christian churches. I ain't even going to go into the Inquisition, nothing like that. It still happens today. The non-Christians persecute the Christians. Hey, by the way, what's wrong with you? How come you're a hater? How come you're a homophobe? How come you're... And the Christians, and I'm using my ditto fingers for those on the radio, persecute the Christians. What is that all about? Well, the wolves in sheep's clothing have always persecuted the true. It happened during the time of Paul, and Paul's saying as much. He's saying, you know, I was Jewish, and I was all like, I was like super active in the church, and I was so much so that I was even persecuting the church of God, and I wasted it. That's what religion does. That's what religion is. Only always did religious people crucify Jesus. Yes, they did. Why? Religious people hate the message of grace. Always. What do you mean? I mean, I can't do anything to earn my salvation. Neither can you. Now, if I say neither can I, they, whatever. But when I say neither can you, then they get all, what do you mean? I've been, and they get their list of, you know, I've been putting money in the offering since I was 10. I put the stain in the stained glass windows. I go to church every Sunday. I read my Bible every day. Or whatever it is their particular, you know how many the Jehovah's Witnesses, you know how many doors I've knocked on? You know how many watchtowers I've sold? You know how many, and, you know, each group will be slightly different. But they're going to try to tell you their resume and tell you how busy they've been and how much they deserve heaven. And you show up and you say, well, I was just a jerk who hated everybody and everything except me, and Jesus showed up and saved me. They hate that message. Only 100% of the time. Religion always persecutes the truth. And he's saying, yeah, I did that. You've heard of my conversation time past and Jews, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it, and I profited in the Jews' religion above many of my equals in my own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers. What's he saying? He said, I was number one religious guy. What is he doing here? He's comparing himself with others. Oh, I was top echelon. I was, you know, when I look at my equals, my peers, they were down here. I was way up here. How am the fair-haired boy of Gamaliel? Religion always compares. You know, I'm doing this to earn my salvation. By the way, how come you aren't? Oh, because I'm doing really good. You, not so much. Where do you think the phrase holy than thou comes? Listen, if anyone says that about me, they don't know nothing about nothing. If I ever even joked about that, I won't. It's not a joke. I'm Pastor Adam of Calvary Chapel. Ain't I something special? No, I'm a horrible sinner that Jesus saved. Holier than thou? Where'd you come up with that? No, I'm probably worse than 98% of you. Maybe you got cannibalism in your resume or something. I don't. So maybe you're. I never said holy. I'm like worst thing that ever came down the pike. I don't have anything to commend myself before God. You know, but religious people, they compare themselves with one another. They do it. It's inevitable. It's invariable. Because, you know, here's the whole thing about religion. God grades on a curve. You know, Jesus says, be perfect like your heavenly Father's perfect. And you're thinking, that counts me out. So what happens? We say, well, I'm pretty good. Well, I'm better than this schlep over here. And we think that God grades on a curve, that he's, you know, this month he's only taken 10% of everyone who died. So, you know, you got 8% or whatever percent that he's figured out, because you won't get heaven get too, you know, filled up, right? So, you know, he's taking whatever percentage, and this one, and you. Okay, come on in. You, and so you got to make sure you're in that upper tier, that you're doing everything really good. Religious people always like that. How religious do you have to be? They don't know. I got to be more religious than you, though. Hey, this is true of Islam. There's only a certain amount of people get in. They're very, very zealous to make sure they're one of the people who do. It's like very, very competitive. They'll tell you. But religious people always compare. Born to please God, who separated me from my mother's womb, called me by his grace to reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen. Immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. What happened? Well, Jesus showed up and he saved me. I hated him. I was a terrorist against his name. But then I met him. He's nice. He's a savior. He loves me. He did everything to secure my salvation. I was working my tail off, and it wasn't even getting me anywhere. But then it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb. It's funny to me. You know, I didn't call up Kate, and I don't tell her what verses to put on here. On the front of your bulletin, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest out of the womb, I sanctified thee. And I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Isn't that kind of funny that should happen? Did you know did you look at these verses ahead? No, you didn't, did you? That's just God leaving his fingerprint. Look, before you were born, before the earth was born, before the foundations were laid, that's when I got saved. How about you? I was in Christ before the foundations of the world. Nah, don't ask me to explain it. I can't wrap my tiny little pea brain around stuff like that. Before God said, light be, he said, Adam Kasperzak, you're on my team. I'm adopting you. You're my forever son. Before I even, I got ministry for you. I got life for you. I had your whole everything planned out. And it's a good life. It's good choices. You can't run your own life. You'll do nothing but disastrous choices. I can show you my resume. When I was in charge, chaos. When God's in charge, good stuff. Good stuff. He's a good God. He's a good father. When he separated me from my mother's womb, he called me by his grace. That's salvation. He called me. Why? Because I've been working my tail off? No, by his grace. That's the gospel of grace. You say, I don't know grace. God's riches at Christ's expense. The cross. Jesus pouring out his life to secure your eternity with his Father. You've sinned. The wages of sin is death. He died to pay the penalty for your sins so you could have eternal life. Well, what did I ever do to deserve that? Nothing. That's the point. It's the gospel of grace. I love it. You know, if it's not a gospel of grace, I don't want it. Because nothing else is going to work for me. If I have to pray my way into heaven, how much prayer? Because I tried that. If I have to do sacraments and go to confession, go to communion and all this to get into heaven, how many communions do I have to receive? How many times do I have to go and pour out my heart to the priest and tell him all my sins and stuff before I'm okay with God? There's never a number. They don't give you a number. It's like that, you know, back in the day when before motorized vehicles and I had a donkey pulling a cart, you know, to market and stuff like that, they'd hang a little carrot on the end of a stick, dangle it in front of the donkey, you know, and he'd take a step. Well, that carrot would move and it would just always stay that much ahead of him. Well, he wanted the carrot, so he'd keep moving. And that's religion. It's that carrot dangling out there. I'm going to get it this time. No matter how fast you go, it's always that much ahead of you. Religion is a hard way to live. It's a horrible way to live. But I'll tell you one thing about religion where people like it so much. It feeds your pride. They hate our gospel. It's the gospel of grace. There's nothing you can do. You deserve death forever and always. Jesus comes along and says, I know that, but I love you. I'm going to redeem you unto myself. That's a wonderful message. Well, yeah, but I've been... And they start coming out with the resume again, all the things they've been doing. It's a hard way to live. And by the way, the end of the day, I'll tell you what religion does, invariably, inevitably. I said this to the two most religious people I know, my mother and my sister. Serious. I said, you know what religion does? It always either brings about depression or pride. And they're like, what do you mean? And I said, because you got a sense that you're doing it good. I'm really doing good in my religion. And then pride. Like, see how good I'm doing, Lord? See, I'm not like these schmucks over here. I'm really doing it. And then it's pride. Now, what's worse than pride? Or you have a sense that you're not doing it so good, that you're not really doing all the things that you should be doing. And then you get a sense of, like, depression, like, oh, I should be holier, I should be doing more, I should be scoring more points that I can trade in at the end for less days in purgatory or nirvana or whatever methodology you're on. And my mother and my sister both said, I see that. The two most religious people I know, they both said, that's right. And my sister said, I really think I'm doing religion really, really well. And I think I am doing it better than everybody else. And she admitted to me her pride. Isn't that incredible? And she said, yeah, I think I'm knocking it out of the park all the time. I think I'm awesome. And she told me how wonderful she was at religion. Can you imagine such a thing? And my mom said, you know, I see the saints and I see all the, you know, people who've gone before us and how, you know, they just dedicated their lives to God. And I look at my life and I don't really make all that much difference to many people whatsoever. And it causes me this real weight, this real sense of shame and unworthiness. Listen, how many of you guys know God doesn't want you to be ashamed? And God doesn't want you to be proud. God doesn't want you to be depressed. And God doesn't want you to be, look at what a great guy I am. You see how that works? And religion does that only 100% of the time. He revealed his son to me that I preach among the heathen. You know what I didn't do? I didn't go and see flesh and blood. I didn't bounce it off anyone. I didn't run up the flagpole, see who salutes. Why? Because I got it off God. I didn't need to run it through channels. I didn't need to see who said, yeah, it's okay. None of that. So I went up to Jerusalem to them that were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia. Neither went I up to Jerusalem. So first thing I didn't go was up to Jerusalem, as I didn't confer with flesh and blood. But I went into Arabia and returned again to Damascus. Arabia is interesting to me. That's the 40-year wilderness wandering across the Red Sea from Egypt is Arabia. That's where Sinai is, the real Mount Sinai. Incredible to me. He's the same, taking the same track as the children of Israel. Who's there with him? God. He says, I know, you know, the Lord, he taught me this. And then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter. What happened? 3 years. Listen, aren't able-bodied Jews 20 years and older supposed to be in Jerusalem 3 times a year? Passover, Pentecost, and Feast of Booths, 3 times a year. I missed 9 of those. I missed them for 3 years. I didn't go up to Jerusalem. What is that telling you? Hey, I'm not on that system anymore. I listen to a lot of Jewish roots guys. And they don't like Galatians. They explain it the exact opposite way that it should be explained. They say, you've got to keep the feast, and you got to, the only thing they don't tell you is circumcision, but I bet many of them are. Not that I know anything. I'm just saying. You know how weird that is? Religion makes you do weird things. We'll talk about circumcision at length. How'd they know? And that's a story for another time. Look. For 3 years, Paul saying, I didn't do the religious thing. I didn't do that. I'm with God. I'm learning from God. God's teaching me. God's showing me. The Lord's visiting with me. There's no in-between. There's no go-between me and Jesus. He's given me the gospel. He's telling me the things he wants me to know. And that old way of doing things, that's the old way of doing things. I don't do them anymore. So he finally goes to, and he sees Peter, and he abode with him 15 days, but none of the other apostles saw none save James, the Lord's brother. Religion will tell us that Jesus doesn't have any brothers. Why? Because religion always elevates man or woman, perpetual virginity, you know, weird ideas like that. Religion does that. And he's just telling us here in an offhanded way that, yeah, I'm not religious anymore. I went and I saw Peter. Why did I see Peter? He's visiting with Peter. He wants to know Peter. He's not trying to get the gospel off Peter. And that's in the Greek here when he's talking about visiting. It's not like I went to him for information. But in a way, he does. Because you got to remember, he's being chased around the empire by these people called Judaizers, right? They come into Galatia after he left. It's an area. It's not a city. They come into this area and say, yeah, Paul, he's second tier. He's not one of the original apostles. Okay, He doesn't get the gospel quite right. Yeah, Jesus is cool, but you got to keep the law. You got to keep the Jewish dietary law. You got to be circumcised. You got to, and ad nauseum, add all the things on that the blood of Jesus Christ simply isn't enough. And a lot of the Galatians bought into it because it fuels the ego to think that you have a hand in your own salvation. And Paul's thinking like, okay, these guys come from Jerusalem. Is this the message they're preaching at Jerusalem? So I think he does want to check that out. So he goes and he visits with Peter and he sees James. James is the head of the church in Jerusalem. Now, the things which I read unto you, behold, before God I lie not. I'm not lying about this. I wouldn't lie to you about this. I'm telling you what happened. Now, let me go on. Afterwards, I came into the regions of Syria and Cilicia and was unknown by faith into the churches of Judea, which were in Christ. But they heard only that he which persecuted us in times past now preached the faith which once he destroyed, and they glorified God in me. Now he's out of religion, okay? Now he's into serving God. What happens? People are glorifying God in him. That's the real deal. What happens at the end of the religious day? People glorify me. Man, I'm awesome. I've been doing it. What happens in the real gospel we're involved in? People glorify Jesus Christ. Can I share? I don't say this very much. Okay, so I'm 20. I'm Catholic, okay? I think I shared that before. We all know. And I'm very, very religious, except I'm a very bad person. And religion isn't making me any better. I don't want to go blow-by-blow account. It just won't further, it's shameful, and it won't further Jesus Christ's purpose. But listen, Sue's tight. Did anyone else know me before I was saved? Any of you guys say no? Sue's, she's gonna die with all the secrets. She ain't tell nobody, so you can ask her later on and stuff like this. She'll tell you I was a bad guy. She'll tell you I was like very full of myself. I was very selfish. I was young, I was immature, and I was in love with myself. I was very, very, very proud. Now, a lot of you saying, yeah, I can see that. You see the sanctified version. You don't know. I mean, you don't know. Because the people at the time, they were blown away with the way they put it. You know, I was in a squadron in the Marine Corps, and they were like, it made for real good gossip. But what they said, Adam got religion. Oh, he's a holy Joe now. But they were blown away by that because they saw the before and they saw the after, and they were just shaking their heads. And they glorified God in me in their own way. They were sure something had happened. So I'm fat, dumb, and happy, just living my life for me. It's all about me, and it's chaos. My relationships were chaos. My marriage was chaos. Everything about me was just like I'm a black hole, and you know, and sucking people into my vortex. The people who like you know would advance my cause and you know say good things about me. And if you would ever challenge me and said I wasn't wonderful, you're not going to be in my sphere of influence. You're out of here. And it was all about me all the time. And I realized there was something like dreadfully wrong with my life. I mean, I was smart enough to realize this is stupid. What is it, just how much fun I can have, how much, you know, the world is about me, how much stuff I can accumulate, what's the purpose, what's the point, what is life about? And finally, you know, I run into a guy, his name's Larry Ingalls, and he's Ingalls of the Ingalls, Little House on the Prairie Ingalls. He's related in that way somehow, okay? He's just a guy in the Marine Corps. He was sergeant, I was a corporal, and he says, like, Adam, your life is a mess. I'm like, yeah. You know, you're a sinner. I'm like, yeah, tell me something I don't know, stating the obvious. You know, firm grasp of the totally obvious. He says, you know, sinners go to hell. And I thought for a second, I always believed in God my whole life. I even believed in Trinitarian God. I believed Jesus was divine. I believed he was virgin born. I believed the Bible was the Word of God. Say, you were saved. No. Head knowledge. Heart knowledge, never knew him. Never knew him. Never knew. Can you miss heaven by 18 inches? Oh, yeah. I knew all the stuff. I got to answer all the right questions on the quiz. I just didn't know him. I was going to die in that state, and he's going to say, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. I never knew you. And he'd have been absolutely correct in saying so. So he's telling me about this, you know, God, and he judges sinners, and well, I'm scared, and I kind of knew that. I mean, I don't think about it all the time. It's one of the things you try to force it out of your mind and not think about it. But he's telling me about it. He says, it doesn't have to be that way. I'm like, I tried religion. I tried to reform myself. I tried to pick up myself up on my own bootstraps. Not only were the bootstraps not hold, I wasn't even wearing boots. I'm incapable of changing. I just can't do it. And he's going to come along and tell me, you got to do this, and you got to come on, and you got to pray, and you got to, because this is what I heard my whole life. You know, you got to go to confession. You got to go to mass. You got to do this. You got to do religious things. And if you do enough religious things and you stop doing the unreligious things, you'll be okay. Because God grades on a curve. And I was just like, forget it. I tried it. He goes, no. And he showed me like what you would call the Romans road, you know. Romans 3:10, there's none righteous, no, not one. Psh, tell me about it. I know that. Yeah, but you know, do you know this? And it was 5:7 or 5:12? I can't remember. 5:8, God demonstrated his life toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I'm like, what? What? Yeah, God commendeth in King James. God demonstrated his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. What? Yeah, God loves you. Like, no way. I've been a horrible person. Why would he? No, he can't. He wouldn't. Why would he? He does. He loves. He demonstrates his love toward us. His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Christ says, Adam, for you, I'm dying for you. I love you. You love me? If I could just convince everybody here how much God loves them, the argument's over. The argument's over. The discussion's over. I want to respond to a God who loves me that well. Yeah, I've been making a mess out of my life. He don't care. Paid in full. I know you're a bad guy, Adam. I know. I die to save bad guys. It's a wonderful message. And finally, show me some verses, you know, Romans 10, 9 and 10. Romans 6, 23 changed my life literally. Let's kind of go there. Romans 6, 23. This literally changed my life. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Hey, Adam, let me tell you something. The wages of sin is death. I'm like, yeah, very probably, yeah. I'm going to hell. Yeah, I've been a bad guy. The payment you're getting for your sin is death, he told me. I'm like, I remember this, if it was yesterday. I'm getting all goosebumpy. It was February 14th, 1980. I got saved. Long time ago, I know. 20 years old. The wages of sin is death. Yeah. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now listen, I'm Catholic. I never heard such a thing in my life. Wait a second. The gift of God? God's got a gift for me? Yeah, eternal life. You mean I get to be with him forever and never die? Yeah, exactly. It's eternal life. How? Through Jesus Christ our Lord. What do I got to do? Accept a gift. Yeah, you know, you've all done that. I don't care what kind of upbringing you had. You've all done that. Somebody at some point had a birthday, a wedding, an anniversary, a Christmas gift. Somebody handed you a gift, and you said, thank you, and you received it. You opened it. You used what was in it. You know what it is to get a gift. This is eternal life, the way God has presented. Well, I'm going to earn it. I'm going to work, and I'm going to, no, none of that around here. We don't know. No, you can't earn the blood of Jesus Christ. There's nothing you can do. But I will give you eternal life as a gift. You're saying it can't be that easy. It is that easy. I got it. I'm 20. I'm not the smartest, sharpest knife in the drawer. I'm not super clever. I'm not a theologian, but I was a good sinner. And I knew a deal when I saw one. Okay, let me get this straight. I remember talking to him. He'll take my sin on the cross, pay for it, and give me his life? He said, exactly. Where do I sign up? I want that. No trades, he's backsies. I mean, I'm going to do this. I'm going to give him my life. He's going to give me his life. I'm going to give him my sin, my wickedness, my depravity. He's going to give me his righteousness. He said, exactly. Who would not do that? How would that? What? This is crazy good. This is the best deal in the history of forever. I want this. It's the gospel of grace. You don't have to do anything. You say, I don't deserve it. I know. Isn't it wonderful? Because I didn't either. And so I said, yeah. So it wasn't that day. It was a couple days afterwards. It was February 14th, and I was running because I was a Marine, you know, 87 miles a day over barbed wire. You know how, now, back when I was young and I had some sort of a physique and was into like health and stuff, because I had to pass a physical fitness test. And I was running along the seawall in Japan, because I was in Japan at the time. And so I was running, and I thought, like, you know, my life is a metaphor, it's running. It's just running away from God. You know, why would I do that? Why would I? And he had shared the gospel, like, I think it was 2 days early, and I was kind of chewing it around, you know, kind of thinking about it. And I was finally thinking, what am I waiting for? What is wrong with me? And so I prayed best I knew how. You know, nobody led me. It wasn't an altar call. It wasn't anything like that. I said, God, if you love me, if it's true what your word seems to say, I want you to come into my life. I want you to save me. I want you to be my God. That was the whole thing. What happened? Salvation, glorious and good and free and wonderful, and he changed my life forever. Holier than thou. I give him my shambles, my broken dreck just poured out on his lap, and he said, love it. Love to have you. Welcome to the family. You're mine forever. And I said, okay. And I knew something happened too. I felt in my spirit, and I felt like I ran through a door that slammed shut behind me, and I couldn't get back through, even if I wanted to, and I didn't want to. I just, like, I'm part of his forever family now. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. I didn't know that verse, but I felt it. The Spirit of God in me. I have a new start, new lease on life. Born again, if you want to call it that, after John 3:3. Everything is different now. Why? I asked Christ into my heart, and he came in, and he saved me. And he made me a new creation. And all that shameful stuff, that horrible, shameful, he said, paid in full, I took care of it. I'm never going to bring it up again. It's done. Is this a good gospel? I got another gospel for you. Work harder. Do better. Be more religious. No, Adam, I like the first one better. I know, I did too. Listen, Adam, there's a lot riding on this. If I believe you, if I trust Jesus, I'm casting every other methodology aside. You better be right. All I can tell you is it's right for me. It's in the Bible. Where'd you get this gospel? I got it off Paul. Where'd he get it? He got it off Jesus. I don't know what else to say. Can I turn this around? Your gospel, your good news that isn't so good, where'd you get it? Well, I've always felt that. Whoa. You really want to finish that sentence you felt? You felt your way. Listen, there's dozens of different opinions in this room on your feelings and what feelings and how you. Listen, Adolf Hitler, true story, felt he was a righteous man because he didn't swear. True story. You can look it up. It's online. It's everywhere. Saying, really? Yeah. Good old Saint Adolf. What a wonderful guy. 6 million Jews dead. Megalomaniac, try to plunge the whole world into World War II, try to take over Third Reich, you know, the whole thing. He's a good guy because he didn't swear. I'm really not interested that much in what you feel. I hope you're not interested in what I feel. What else you got? Well, I think that, wait, stop. Now you just elevated from feelings to thinking. Who cares? This is your forever. Are you sure about what you're thinking is correct? Because I got this from Paul. Paul got it right, and if I can say this in a sanctified, right from the horse's mouth, and I'm not trying to say that in a way that denigrates Jesus. It was firsthand. He got it, and he accurately transmitted, reported to us. Jesus died for our sins. You know in your heart of hearts that's the right gospel. You know it's the only one that works. You know if you're on that treadmill of trying to earn your way, you know how it's not working. Give up on that. Give up. Praise God. Give up on that. It's not working. It will never work. It doesn't work. It never has. And it makes you either a proud person or a depressed person. Always. No, no, no. Here's the deal. God's given you eternal life. Celebrate it because you've already received it, or receive it now. Those are all the real options. Walk out and say, forget about it, don't need Jesus. Yo, you desperately need Jesus. Listen, I'll be here after you can come up. I'm making some big production, altar call, something. You come up and you pray. You want to talk more, we'll be here and we can pray after. So everyone stand. Let's. Matt will come and send us out of here in song. By the way, you'll know the deal. We're from like 10 to 11:30. I didn't take you a half hour over. We get done at 11:30. Just, it takes a long time to teach these things. So just there you have it. Let's pray. Our Father and our God, as I share my own testimony, I'm excited once more of the many things you've done in my life. Now, what I've done is chaos and just messed up. And what you've done is you've taken something broken and you made it new again. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things are passed away. All things are become new. I know it to be true. I know it to be true in my life. Lord, this is the only gospel that's ever availed anybody anything. We thank and praise you for it. Lord, if there's anyone in this room and they haven't given your wonderful Son, our Savior, their life yet, they haven't been born again, if they haven't asked Christ to save them, can this be the day? Lord, religion makes something out of us, but those of us who have given up on religion, we know we're nothing. We want to make much of you, the Savior. We want people to know Jesus Christ and all his awesomeness. And Lord, I pray that you'd be just introduce yourself to many here this morning. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.